This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Jay Dyer, always amazing. Instead of taking over in about 6-7 minutes, we're talking to Dr. Robert Epstein. Doc, closing comments for this audience.
Well, first of all, I have to say thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for showing me the deep understanding you have of these issues. And I also want to address your audience directly, announcing today that we are starting a campaign, a nationwide campaign, to get people to sponsor one of our field agents. We have almost 12,000 of them now. We pay them a measly $25 a month. And for that, they allow us to look over their shoulders, capture content from their computers and their kids' devices as well.
Oh, that's what you didn't get to. You'll come back next week if you can, but you said that beyond election meddling, the targeting of children, not just in schools, not just in media, but online by Google, which you're just snapshot, you know, singling them out because they're the biggest. What are they doing to our children?
They're indoctrinating our children in ways that we don't even understand, but we're capturing the data. That's the most important thing. We're capturing the data. There is creepy stuff going to our kids, and it's going through Google and YouTube, which is part of Google. It is scary as heck. And next week, I'm going to come on and tell you about that, and even though I don't really even understand it very well yet. But, yeah, if you just scroll on that page, americasdigitalshield.com.
Well, you're a respected top behavioral psychologist, and you can't even figure it out. You just know it's dark.
Oh, we will figure it out. We run across these things all the time with Google, and we do figure them out. Sometimes it takes us a while, but we do figure them out one by one by one, and we're going to figure that out, too, what they're doing to our kids. But meanwhile, to your audience, please go to mygoogleresearch.com. Please sponsor a field agent, tax-deductible donation of $25 a month. It's critically important. We're the only team in the world, the only research team in the world that's doing this kind of work, that's measuring these manipulations, that's capturing all this ephemeral content, this very dangerous content that's being used to manipulate billions of people around the world. We cannot do our work without your help. So please, please help us. And I look forward to coming on again next week and giving you more details, especially about what these companies are doing to our kids.
So if Google's the kingpin, who's under them? Facebook, Apple?
Well, if you go to Google.com and you type the letter A into their search bar, they're going to show you suggestions that you go to visit Amazon. So Amazon is part of the problem. To a lesser extent, Microsoft. Facebook, big-time part of the problem. Instagram, which Facebook owns, part of the problem. TikTok. We're starting to monitor everyone. And if these platforms are sending out partisan go vote reminders or sending creepy stuff to our kids, which they are, okay, we are preserving that information. That's what we're doing. That's never been done before. And these companies never imagined that it would ever happen. And that's what we're doing. As of this point in time, we're just a hair's breadth away from having preserved in recent months more than 48 million ephemeral experiences on Google and other platforms. That's what you can help us do by sponsoring one of our field agents, mygoogleresearch.com. Thank you in advance for helping us, and thank you, Alex. I'm tremendously impressed. I really
well. I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Doc. Yeah. Well, we'll talk to you again soon. We got big news breaking next week. I'll just leave it at that. Listeners should all stay tuned in next week. Biggest stuff we've ever done. Biggest stuff we've ever done next week. And Dr. Epstein, thank you so much, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, sir.
He didn't make a big deal about it when he was on with us, so I didn't bring it up. But, you know, his wife seriously died right after he went public to Congress. This is a real war, folks, and they are so scared, but we can defeat this. Jay Dyer is set to take over, and he is the guy that goes right to their documents, right to their plans, right to their own words. And that's their biggest Achilles heel, is they think we're a bunch of animals, so they admit the incredible evil they're involved in when they talk to each other. Like, we're not here at the big person table. It's like Thanksgiving. We're at the kids' table. They're at the adult table. Well, I've been at the adult table since I was a little kid. So I'm talking about adult table, big stuff here. All right. And Owen Schroyer, before he reports to prison, is on in about 55 minutes at Infowars.com/show. We're paying a heavy price to fight for humanity. We're humans. We're pro-human. We'll be right back. I got final words ahead of Jay. We have not had this many of our best-selling products back in stock in years because of supply chain breakdowns and all the rest of the stuff that's going on. And these are game-changing products. It's like our information is game-changing. These products are incredible. And I'm personally glad that these are now back in stock. All three of the InfoWars Platinum flagship products that have been sold out for months are now back in stock, but a very limited run because we only had a budget to get 3,000 or 4,000 bottles of each one of these. I think we got 4,000 bottles of the HGH Max Boost that people love so much. We've got about 4,000 bottles of 1776 Testosterone Boost that just came in. And we've got about 3,000 bottles of Pain MD. Incredible natural pain reliever situation. All three of these are back in stock, and they're incredible, and they fund our operation at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. It's Alex Jones.
You heard Dr. Robert Epstein, one of the top behavioral psychologists, computer experts in the world, tell you they're targeting our children with evil garbage. He can't even figure out what it is. It's meant to just destabilize them, scare them, and then bind them to Google with the messages they're sending. They're just scaring them. That makes them pay attention so they can control them. That's the main operational mission there. I can give you the answer before it comes out. There are studies, I know that. It's why they want to trauma-based mind control them with all the pedophilia and garbage. And so I look back in hindsight on Google and Facebook when they were first getting big, trying to get me to go meet with them, and their vice presidents want me to come. And I didn't do it. They're like, watch your show today. 50 million views. Now work with us, that'll continue. But I didn't, so they banned me. That's the real currency they've got, is the attention they can give you. And if you sell out, they'll keep you, at the forefront. But it's all based on evil, so I can't do that. So I don't have Google's backing. I don't have George Soros' backing. I have your backing. And I need funds to continue. People are really listening. This is human intelligence against the AI globalist pedophiles. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. I need you to get our new book, The Great Awakening, The Plan to Defeat the Globalists and Launch the Second Great Renaissance. I need you to go there and get great supplements like the Trifecta Pack. They've extended the sale on DNA Force Plus, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, Real Red Pill Plus, 40% off. Back in stock, InfoWars Platinum, HGH Max Boost, 7076 Testosterone Boost, and Pain MD. Incredible private labels we've done of the top sellers in the country discounted. We need funds to fight these people or just give up and roll over. But the most important thing to do is get awake and get outspoken yourself. But if you want to keep us on air and get great products at the same time, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. We have a fundraiser of limited edition signed copies of The Great Awakening, and we have unsigned copies. The books are shipping on the 20th. We have them in stock. I start signing them today. So please take action now. It's your will that will overpower the AI. Fund us. Get a book you can share with others. InfoWarsStore.com. Now, the best-selling author of Jay's Analysis joins us right now, Jay Dyer, to lay out the globalists in their own words with smoking gun evidence. Jay Dyer.
Thank you, Alex. Glad to be back on the fourth hour. Today I want to talk about a lesser-known secret side of the establishment. It's one of the biggest linchpins. It's one of the biggest foundation stones in the establishment's power structure, how it works, how it runs things, and how it controls society that very few know. Alex knows this. He's covered it for many years. But I want to talk about how the elite families, the oligarchs that still run our country and our world today, or at least most of it, how they actually made their money, because few know this. People think, oh, they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and they sold their cogs and their widgets at the factories because they were such hard workers. And no, no, no. talking about the elite families of the Eastern Seaboard of the American establishment and of the British Empire. How did they make their money? Oh, they sold a bunch of tea. They went and through their colonies, they got tea and spices. No, that does not give you the leverage that would equate to more than the wealth of even BlackRock today. What other thing? You might say, oh, human trafficking. No, 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 not even that. Even more valuable than that. And not only did this become a key element to make the Council of 300 of the British East India Company fabulously wealthy, something else happened to make them fabulous. This actually became an element of warfare. The opium trade. Many people do not know that the elites of the West, the oligarchs of the West, gained their power and their money through drug running. Do you know that drugs are still the staple of the world economy? That's what the dollar is actually based on. Few people know this, but it was actually uncovered many years ago in one of the first big 9/11 books. It's the book that was written about crossing the Rubicon. I read that book back in 2004 or 5 about the rise of the opium dollar. Post 9/11, opium, and after the invasion of Afghanistan, the drug trade exploded. And few people connected this to not just 9/11, but also to the global war on terror and to the control of black markets. Now, again, black markets, we think of things like human trafficking, we think of, which again is a terrible, real thing going on in the world. We've got movies like the recent Jim Caviezel movie, Sound of Freedom, that exposes a lot of that. But even bigger than that black market, again, is the drug trade. And we know about the 20th century elite. We've covered the Milner Circle, the Fabians. We've covered the Cecil Rhodes and the Lord Rothschild. And we've covered the way that the British Empire was sort of co-opted. But we didn't really get into the means and the mechanisms of how that occurred prior to those days of the late 1890s and so forth. Let's go back to the 1800s. There were actually chartered companies, again, you go back even further, to the British East India Company. And the founding of the British East India Company at first had to do with various privateers, people given a license and a charter to kind of go out and chart and obtain things for the crown. So if you were licensed, you got a charter, that meant you worked for the crown. You had the approval of the crown to do that. And actually, some of the most famous pirates were actually licensed chartered privateers. When you watch Pirates of the Caribbean, we actually just rewatched that, my wife and I. And I didn't realize, I'd forgotten how crucial to the plot, especially part 2 and 3, the British East India Company becomes. And a lot of that, I mean, it's goofy, right? It's got, you know, gods and goddesses. It's got Jack Sparrow, M.I. Brooke, right? You've got these Caribbean goddesses like Calypso. But beyond all the kind of goofy stuff, there's actually a pretty deep esoteric plot going on with the British East India Company basically trying to create a global monopoly of the trade, controlling the sea lanes. And that's actually what they did. The British Navy became very effective at this because really the Crown, which eventually took over the British East India Company, adopted all of these trade routes and lanes that were drug trade routes that the British East India Company had set up. And they were making at that time just outlandish amounts of money. It was unbelievable. Nothing had ever been seen like this in the history of the world, at least if you tried to scale it out, in terms of the wealth that was being made through the global opium trade from the British East India Company. The British East India Company also had a very, shall we say, Malthusian and Darwinian perspective on how to dominate the world. And seafaring empires, Britain being the classic example, versus land empires or land-based nations. This is the classic kind of geopolitical way to sketch out what different nations are or how they function. Seafaring nations function on the basis of monetarism and merchant trade. And land-based nations are typically, or empires, are married to the land. And so they have a very different idea of culture, of what is valuable, of law and so forth. Thus, you could see, because of the sort of churning nature of the sea and the oceans, the sort of chaotic elements of the ocean and the trade that's constantly going on, that kind of an empire would be much more susceptible to things like wild levels of usury and wild levels of monetarism. And so the British Empire became very adept at this. It became, in my view, pretty much a front for a lot of these elite oligarchical families. And by the 1800s, they had really consolidated this power. And when the British East India Company was in decline, the crown just took it over. They took over all of the dominions, the ships. They already had these colonies, but they had a deal with the British East India Company, which really, again, was identical to the British Empire. And so the crown took it over and still, I believe, exerts a lot of influence and power in terms of the Royal Society, the Royal Institute for National Affairs, and these elite bodies that still to this day have a lot of power and influence in, obviously, in the world, but specifically also in terms of the drug trade, as well as many big banks that were set up to be basically big drug laundering banks. This is how our world really runs. This is how it really functions. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get deeper into the secret intelligence networks and the drug trade behind the New World Order.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Your guest is Jay Dyer. Jay's analysis. We're talking about the history of the international drug trade, particularly the opium empire that was built up by the British East India Company, which was later taken over by the Crown. And these same people, of course, allied themselves with the elites in the 1800s in the United States of America. So, in other words, we've been under this shadow oligarchical drug empire without even knowing it. And in fact, this isn't just covered by people like Dr. John Coleman and his Committee of 300 book. It's also covered in the history of America's Secret Establishment, Anthony Sutton's book on the history of the Order of Skull and Bones, which would later produce the OSS and the CIA. So people out of Skull and Bones at Yale were who were the early recruits and continue to be recruits into the OSS and the CIA. And he talks about, for example, early on in the book, the power structure, how it worked in terms of the concentric circles of power. You would have people at Skull and Bones. This is in the 1800s, principally, right? So you would have the order, you would have the White House, the executive branch. It would influence that. Foundations and think tanks would be influenced. The Federal Reserve System would be influenced by it. The banking, the industrial complex, law, education, media, and also churches. So the perspective of the oligarchs here was society-wide. It was all of society. And again, they had adopted for a long time the attitude of Malthusianism, depopulation, and total control. Now, this circle also, in terms of today, according to Sutton, functions in a similar way with groups like Bilderberg, the Trilateral Commission, Bohemian Club, the Atlantic Council, and he places Skull and Bones as one of the key elements there. It's not the totality, it's not everything, but it's one of the key elements in the power structure, ultimately, that would be aligned with the British elite structure and the founding of the OSS and the CIA. And the strategy of tension that they adopted a long time ago is a Hegelian philosophy. It's a thesis, antithesis, synthesis model, where you put intentional stressors and shocks on the society, on the system, to demoralize it and to collapse it. It doesn't have to be right away. It can be a slow kill Fabian model, or it can be a right away model. We might even see in the next 12 months things get really crazy. Dr. Sutton gives an analogy, a little chart here, where he says that the way that they functioned in the 20th century was to have the thesis of Marxism and the antithesis of fascism. And together, this clashing, as well as Western capitalism, produces the desired long-term synthesis here of a future third-way technocratic order between Bolshevism, fascism, and capitalism. So you have to, in their philosophy, clash these things together, right? Kind of like what Samuel P. Huntington writes about in The Clash of Civilizations. It's not just two economic systems. You clash, for example, Christianity against Islam. You clash all of these things together, these different systems. Eastern communism versus Western capitalism. Clash them together in the Cold War. Because they think that this is a necessary process of history, process philosophy. The idea is that, well, doesn't this occur in nature, right? The survival of the fittest. The one that's the fittest, the product of this, of the clashing in terms of biology, is the synthesis. And so they would view this as just fundamental to nature itself. Biology, they believe, teaches you that good and evil are relative principles founded in and grounded in the natural order and its clashing of things together to produce whatever the synthesis they want. Now, if we go back to an example of this in the 80s, Dr. John Coleman, in his book on the Committee of 300, which again is another study on this institution and this power structure in the West that comes out of these 1800s era oligarchical drug families, he says that gang wars were actually planned at Stanford University. That is the same Stanford that produces Changing Images of Man, all the white papers, SRI, all of that, and Tavistock. They deliberately designed the shocks to society that caused the ripples of disturbances. By 1958, there were in excess 200 of these gangs. They were made popular by various Hollywood movies, musicals, things like West Side Story. Although I don't think today's gangs want to classify themselves as the Sharks and the Jets, although that would be pretty funny. In 1966, they began to increase throughout the near decade of gang violence. The public reacted according to the profile response of Stanford research. As they expected, society would then not comprehend gang warfare, and they adapted to it in the maladaptive response model. This is the Tavistock model of not just thesis, antithesis, synthesis, but shocking the system and basically traumatizing the masses to put them into a maladaptive dissociative state. This is in their own documents, their own psychology. So gang wars produce the fragmentation of society. Society then reacts with a maladaptive dissociative response. So this is studied and designed this way. It's not just all chaos and one damn thing after another. When the intelligence agencies work with various gangs, like the 80s, I lived in California in the 80s. I remember the Crips and the Bloods and the gang wars and all this kind of stuff. And what will we do? How will we stop the drugs? We'll have a drug war. We'll have a war on gangs and violence. All of that was window dressing because the establishment is involved in steering and engineering the gangs. Freeway Ricky Ross, remember him talking about how the crack cocaine epidemic was actually fostered by the establishment and the intelligence agencies. They would work with certain cartels, work with certain gangs. Think about Pablo Escobar as another example. And this is amazing because everything that Dr. John Coleman had written in 1992 in his book actually is the same stuff that later came out with various journalists and people exposing the complicity of the intelligence agencies in the drug trade. 1989, gang warfare as a social conditioning model to change was introduced into the streets of Los Angeles. Within a few short months, the first incidents of gangs began to proliferate. This led to crack houses and rampant prostitution, which proliferated. Drug dealers then dominated the streets, and anybody who got in their way was gunned down. The outcry of the press was loud and long. Stanford research targeted large population groups and defended itself with slogans. This is what Tavistock called the first phase of the targeted group failing to identify the source of the crisis. So you think that it's teenage lack of education. We need more social programs. Failing to recognize that the problem was at the top itself. And this is always what happens. And this is why the whole country is collapsing and going to garbage and trash. Because nobody identifies the actual problems. It's always a deflection and concerned with, it's the libs, it's the incompetency in the government. Never failing to understand that it's a technocratic social engineering plan from the top down. It's not incompetence. There's a layer of government incompetence that covers up for the psychopathic layer of the elite control specter level organizations that are behind this stuff. He goes on to say that the gang war crisis implemented a fragmentation in society that Stanford Research and Tavistock intended to be the case through their maladaptive process and the period that resulted in dissociation afterwards. So again, what happens to an individual in terms of trauma can be applied to society as a whole. Don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show. We're covering the drug war.
Don't lie down and take it. Spread the word about this broadcast. Pray for this broadcast. Support other broadcasts, please. And please financially support us at InfoWarsStore.com. only way we operate is your funding. You are the InfoWar. You're the reason we're here. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and empower yourself and your immune system and your body and your health and your vitality with the trifecta sale, 40% off, with DNA Force Plus finally back in stock, Body's Ultimate Tumor Formula finally back in stock, and Real Red Pill finally back in stock. It's been a year since all three have been back in stock together. There's no excuse not to get them. They're so amazing together. 40% off right now when you get all three together, or 25% off individually. The trifecta sale right now at InfoWarsStore.com. The only way we fail is you don't take action. This will enrich and empower your life, and it keeps us on the air. So if you want us to keep fighting in the face of these attacks, we can't do it without you. Plus, these are great products you need. That is a total win, a 360 win. The trifecta sale. Go now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Welcome back to the Auction Show. My guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Now Analysis. We were talking about the 1980s drug war as an example of an engineered shock and stressor put on the system as a kind of research project by the technocratic elite. And this is not surprising because the same thing occurred a few generations earlier in the 1960s counterculture revolution, which initially I think had a lot of organic support, but was eventually, perhaps even from the outset, really fostered and steered by the establishment into promoting mass drug use, LSD, and mind control projects and experiments from the top down. And we cover this in detail when we, a few months ago here on the Fourth Hour, we got into depth with various Aldous Huxley books, who was one of the key ideologues, figures, and members of the elite power structure who was behind the push of this 1960s counterculture. He was kind of the high priest of their psychedelic Dionysian cult. Other people like Allen Ginsberg and Timothy Leary played key roles as psychonauts for the establishment pushing all of these drugs. And so we saw in the 1960s a mass change in society, a vast cultural revolution that wasn't organic ultimately, but was steered by the establishment and had top-down promotion even as high as Time Life magazine when Henry Luce of Skull and Bones, the promoter and owner of Time Life magazine, when he started promoting Gordon Wasson and the Magic Mushroom on the cover of Time magazine. So what supposedly was counterculture was being pushed by the top of the establishment itself. And this had to do with a lot of British influence in terms of Far Eastern philosophies that were being pushed in the West by design through a lot of these institutes and steering committees and think tanks. And also the Laurel Canyon scene and all of its intelligence and deep state connections in terms of the bands and the music and the 60s culture that was being pushed out of that scene. That was actually the original scene prior to Haight-Ashbury. And when we look at the various big pharmaceutical companies like Sandoz Pharmaceuticals, which was the means by which LSD was pushed out in the 1960s, that was the company that was basically tasked by the OSS and CIA with producing this new synthesized hallucinogen. Books like Dope Inc. and books like Committee of 300 by Dr. John Coleman had long ago discussed this model of cultural warfare. Drugs are not just things that bad guys do and sell to make money. Drugs are a tool for social control, and it's not a new idea. That's what I'm trying to express to you. This is an old strategy that the British oligarchs figured out when they would import this to China intentionally. Eventually, the Chinese government was noticing these devastating effects on their people, and they started to try to ban it, but they couldn't ban it because the British would just use fake Christian mission cutouts like the Inland Christian Mission, which was a front that the British used for the pushing of opium under the guise of being Christian missionaries, by the way. These fronts and these organizations and the clipper ships that they had, the Chinese just couldn't stop these and they couldn't stop the smuggling. And so these are the predecessors to what would become later on the intelligence agencies. And that's because these smugglers and these Navy men and these pirates, you could say, got really adept at how to smuggle and how to be effective in their ops when it came to bringing drugs and then also people, human trafficking, into various countries and out of various countries. These lanes, that would be the Golden Triangle, the Golden Crescent, these various regions, it became a very standardized, systematized, and amazingly logistical projects about how they would ship opium from different regions and different countries, the refining process, and then how that money would be paid only in gold and how it would go through certain banks, and then it would be shipped to certain countries and sold. And sometimes the countries where it was shipped and sold was done as part of warfare. Warfare is not just tanks and bombs and guns. Warfare is also economic. It's also cultural. It's social. It's also religious. It's ideological. Warfare is total. And the oligarchs and elites of the 1700s and the 1800s knew this very well. In fact, the elites knew this thousands of years ago. But the perfecting of the use of drugs as a form of warfare became very precise and scientific, you could even argue, in the 1800s, when you had a lot of these very powerful, wealthy families in the UK, in Europe, France as well, and in the United States, such as the Astors. The Astors made tremendous wealth, supposedly under the guise, John Jacob Astor, of selling pelts. Now, you don't become fabulously wealthy by just selling beaver pelts, although I know the beaver pelt market is huge. You get You stack stacks for selling opium underneath all of them beaver pelts, right? What's under your beaver? Opium, baby. Not more beavers. It's not beavers all the way down. It's opium all the way down. And that, again, this is the model of the British East India Company. In fact, the Council of 300, which Dr. Coleman argues is actually the predecessor to the Royal Institute for International Affairs and what he calls the Committee of 300, which is really the top 300 elite globalists, people like Kissinger and Brzezinski and these characters. They had sent envoys basically to American oligarchs to introduce the wealthier American oligarchical families in the 1800s to this process and how it occurs and how you do it. So when you're watching movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, of all things, and you're watching the second one and the third one, you'll notice that the British East India Company is the ultimate villain of that plot, of that narrative, because they were really trying to establish this monopoly. It's not really mentioned in the movie, but what do you think they were moving in all of these fast clipper ships and all of these amazingly designed battleships? It wasn't just human slaves, although the British East India Company did eventually have, I think, a monopoly on human slave trade as well. They were moving drugs. They were moving opium. And it became a very scientifically ordered process, again, of every step of how you do this. Now, as we get into the 20th century, this doesn't really change. After the Crown takes over the British East India Company, I think in the 1800s, the process, all of this still continues, and the advancement of technology and the advancement of, you know, how ships advance and become more sophisticated and all of that, shipping lanes, it just continues, and the refining process gets more and more scientific and sophisticated. In fact, Dr. Coleman links a lot of famous deaths, such as Grace Kelly, who was married to the Prince Rainier of Monaco, that this was a hit on her due to the Prince Rainier not going along with all of what the elites in Europe and the Committee of 300 had planned for taking over the global drug trade. Now, they already had a tremendous influence, but they didn't have, for example, all the Latin and South American cocaine trade under their grips. There were various cartels in Colombia and Bolivia, places like that, that were not fully under the control of the Western power elite. And so a lot of times when you see the drug war going into effect, say in the 1980s and the 1990s, Dr. Coleman argues that Manuel Noriega was taken out by Bush precisely because he was getting in the way of some of what the Western intelligence agencies had planned for the drug trade. Doesn't mean Noriega was a good guy. In fact, he was put in there by the CIA and was intended to be a puppet, just like Saddam. But they don't always do as they're told, and sometimes they go off script. And then you get a regime change, or in his case, you get extradited and kidnapped. He argues that David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, for example, came up with the Caribbean Basin Initiative, and this was to basically control the marijuana trade out of the Caribbean Basin. This is also, again, modeled on the older British East India Company model that even people like Rudyard Kipling wrote about when he wrote about the empire in his novels and their speedy clipper ships, the tea clippers. They weren't just selling tea. They were selling opium underneath the beaver pelts and the tea. This is the Alex Jones Show. Your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We'll be right back.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
So we're talking about the history of the drug trade and how the oligarchs that run the Western world in the 1800s had really amassed their power and their fortunes that enabled them to continue in their dynastic succession to have their committees, their steering groups, their working groups still to have the power to run or most of, if not the entire world, or at least they're still working on that. And in fact, you're going to start to see, hey, wait a minute. Drug networks, drug lines, drug war, drug companies. Maybe we're still under the same oligarchical structure. Big pharmaceutical companies are today's British East India Company. They're today's Committee of 300 or Council of 300. Council of 300 was the 300 people on the board, you could say, of the British East India Company. That became the structure and the model for the later Royal Society, Royal Institute for International Affairs, higher level steering committees, Society of the Elect, and the Committee of 300. During the Opium Wars, Hong Kong became key for the UK oligarchical elite to control the drug trade throughout China. In fact, this war against China, he says, was designed to put the Chinese in their place, according to Lord Palmerston himself. The British Army, in fact, did just that, with these oligarchical feudal lords making untold billions in the process. This left China with millions of opium addicts, even up into the era of the bloody rule of Mao Zedong, who, as we know, was a Yale in China. Initially, as we said, the Chinese government opposed this and tried to figure out ways to stop this because it was decimating their people. Eventually, however, they decided that rather than try to fight it, it's much more profitable to go in league with the British oligarchical elite and to share in the opium trade. This continued even into, according to Coleman, the communist period. The major problem that arose in the Sino-British relations in the last 60 years concerned China's demand for a larger slice of the opium heroin pie. This was settled when Britain agreed to hand over Hong Kong to the Chinese government that will eventually come into effect in the future. Now, you know, again, it's kind of unclear for me, from my vantage point, as to see exactly what Taiwan and all that relationship is. But I kind of think that it relates to the drug trade. And a lot of people don't talk about that. A lot of people in libertarian circles, right, they want to defend the Western, you know, base there against China. And I'm not saying that this, I'm just saying it's a little more complex than just good guy versus bad guy. A lot of what's going on there relates to the drug trade. And Coleman goes on to say that the oligarchical families that comprise the Committee of 300 are entrenched in Canton and have been since the height of the opium trade, and they've left their descendants in these positions. If you look at the list of prominent British residents in China, you'll find many of them among these higher committees of the Western elite structure. The same holds for Hong Kong. The plutocrats of the feudal era would like to return the world to a feudal society. When it comes to gold and the opium trade, Hong Kong is the center. Burmese and Chinese opium growers get paid in gold because they do not trust the U.S. paper $100 bills. This is why so much gold is traded on the Hong Kong exchange. The Golden Triangle is no longer, however, the largest producer of opium. That title has changed since 1987 and is now shared by the Golden Crescent of Iran, Pakistan, and Lebanon. And this relates also to Afghanistan and Turkey. And so he argues that a lot of these corporations, a lot of these entities that he's writing this, remember, in 1992, and none of this has really changed. In fact, a lot of the biggest banks out there are clearinghouses, he argues, for the drug trade. So the very secretive banks like the Vatican Bank or like the Bank for International Settlements, these are actually gigantic drug clearing banks, according to Dr. Coleman. So it's a giant global empire and a global business. And that's what most people don't understand about this structure. And again, if you think about this, it makes perfect sense, though, with how we're run today by giant pharmaceutical conglomerates that are able to push and foist a gigantic alteration in the world's daily operating system. Suddenly, we're all told that we have to wear masks and we all have to stand 6 feet apart from one another. And then we have to take our masks off and then we have to put them back on. And that's the power of this superstructure here. Now, it's not just about making money. That's a part of it. But the elite drug trade is just one of the weapons in the arsenal of the establishment. And as I said earlier, it's also a key part of social engineering. Now, if we start to think about fentanyl and the drug crisis in America, Dr. Coleman even talks about studies that the elite have about how when the economy gets worse and worse and worse, more people turn to drugs. And in fact, this is the goal, to eventually have people broke, homeless, you'll own nothing, you'll have nothing, but you'll also be given the drugs that the system will legalize. Eventually, he argues, the plan is to legalize every drug, and then corporate conglomerates will have a monopoly when they're allowed to have the government charter to sell the drugs. Not just weed,
or not just alcohol, but all of the drugs, including the hardest drugs, eventually, when society is degenerated and demoralized enough, will all be legalized at the right point in time, when it's ripe for this harvest to eventually get the population drugged into becoming mindless zombies. Now, we already have a giant portion of the population that is a bunch of mindless zombies. But the plan here is eventually to have the legalization of all of these things as a mass social engineering warfare culture war project. Because when people don't have work, and when they don't have jobs, when they don't have things to do, they will turn to not just alcohol, but pill forms of all of these things. And we already see people doing this. When you go to the biggest cities in America, and I've been to all of them, not all of them, but I've been to many of them from coast to coast, LA and so forth, Austin over the last 4 or 5 years, you start to notice these giant hordes of people that are now fentanyl zombies and homeless people roaming the streets. Even in small towns, we're beginning to see that. And it's only going to get worse because this is not a problem of low-level drug dealers, of guys coming over the border. Now, that is part of the problem. They do bring the drugs in, but this is not run by low-level people crossing the border. This is run by some of the wealthiest people on the planet. And because no one can figure that out and no one thinks to figure that out, it never changes. It just marches forward. And this also ties into the intelligence agencies and how they took over these drug lanes after World War II, especially. This also ties into a lot of the interviews that I've done with the mafia figures and organized crime. Because they were involved with working with the intelligence agencies and these various groups to actually be one of the middlemen in this refining and exportation process, right? The organized crime figures, as well as street gangs, right, were key elements in this giant business, this big superstructure international business. Think of it like an international corporation. That's how the drug business is run. And that's why it's never stopped. And that's why it keeps going. And that's why ultimately it's not even black markets. Nowadays, it's becoming normalized markets because the big pharmaceutical companies are legal drug pushers by design, because it's the top elite families that run it and they're above the law. And people like Kissinger and Brzezinski strategize and know and understand this history and how the black markets do this, because the world is run by these people. It's not run by Joe Biden. It's not run by the people that you elect. It's run by inner party groups like the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And when you go and read the people that run and research and write public books from the RIAA, like Mark Curtis, who wrote the famous book Secret Affairs, The History of Britain's Collusion with Radical Islam, Mark Curtis of the Royal Institute for International Affairs says that this is a tool of the Western power structure of these people. I'm talking about radical Islam and their push for all kinds of strategy of tension shock models. Right, just another example, just another weapon in the arsenal. And we've talked about this at length as well in the past shows, and so you can go back and watch those. They're all on band.video or on my channel. You can go to my website and get my book, 660-page book, all of my geopolitical and theological philosophy essays. You can subscribe to my website. You can get my old Hollywood books, Esoteric Hollywood 1 and 2, at my website. You can also follow me on Rockfin, which is a great free speech-based platform. Subscribe to me there on Rockfin. You can follow me on YouTube under my name, Jay Dyer. Also, be sure to go to the InfoWars store and get those excellent products to support Alex and the InfoWar over here on InfoWars.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.